The referee is reaching into their pockets. What is that card going to be? Ooh, it's a Sean Davis red card for a kick to the face. That can only mean that or one other thing. It is time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. My name is Eric Paisley. I'm your host. With me tonight is...
John Brennig.
There is going to be a lot of soccer this year, John. Like, a lot of soccer. We're going to talk about it.
Yes.
How you doing, my friend? How you doing? Welcome back to Nashville.
Good. Nice to be back. Had a good trip away. Accomplished things that were desired to be accomplished. So it was good.
Nice. All right, we're going to talk about two matches on tonight's show. CONCACAF Champions Cup match against Mocha FC and tonight's regular season MLS is back kickoff game with the Red Bulls. I don't even know where they play anymore. So, all right,
the John. American division of the greater conglomerate known as Red Bull Soccer.
Yeah. For those of you who do know or may not know, they are a global conglomerate of different sports, including everything from extremes. I'm using air quotes for those not watching at home. Extreme sports to motocross and apparently German and
soccer teams.
German, Austrian, and American soccer. They also own an Austrian team. Yeah, they have three teams. Alrighty, let's talk about the matches. First up is the Wednesday's match against Mocha FC in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. All right, John. I did watch this whole match, and I gotta say it was great until our top two players got hurt in the first 20 minutes. So, but yeah, they did have the big tree, as you pointed out. I gotta say the match was a lot of fun to watch. I like it when we go up against teams we've never played before. There seems to be less technical yibbity bop. Like there seems to be a more of a just free flowing game. There's like go out there and do great things, kind of coach speak.
Yeah.
Whereas tonight we had more of a game plan that wasn't working, but we'll talk about that. Yeah, so we defeated Mocha FC 3-0. So just to rewind a little bit, we did predict, I predicted a 2-0 win, and you predicted a 3-1 win. So we were both really close on that.
What's the difference?
Yeah, it was a good match. It was a definitely outclassed match, but once Mocha got going, they really did come alive in the second half. They really showed some of the more of their quality players. Now, I did learn from Speedway Soccer. A shout out to Ben Wright. Speaking of, we were just harassing him for his NPR voice. Is that he did say that they were missing a couple of their key players. So, to be fair, that they are a quality team in the Caribbean Champions Club League. But it was a good match. My hardest working player. So I'm going to just kick us off on that hardest working player. And Gary talked about this tonight on the post game. Taylor Washington. He is really. I think for all of his effort, he's finally getting some playing time in that left back slot where Lovitz typically is. He worked really hard in that Mocha game, and he definitely got my hardest working player. What about you, just from the highlights you saw?
Honestly, that's a good pick and hard to beat because, again, we usually go with people who are putting forth effort, but I feel like I'll pick something different. I'll go with Drew Yearwood. I like the amount of time
that's a good pick.
He put in a good shift alongside Godoy and allowed Godoy to be a little bit more Daxian, you know what I mean? A little bit more orchestrate, control, pass, and he was willing to put in some of the effort on both ends. So I'm going to give it to Drew because I back your play with Taylor 100%. But to do someone different, I liked what I saw with Drew. And a little bit of today's game, I like some of the things I'm seeing, and I can see how even in these two games – I see a brightness there and some, I guess I like it better than what I see from, say Anungwa. So it's like, I see why we brought him in and he can contribute more in that. You know what I mean? He's not just another Brian Anungwa to plug in when someone's like, no, he has some great aspects to his game. And I think he can be key to us in certain places going forward. So I'm going to give it to Drew.
He definitely, well, so check me on this. He is from the Red Bull system. Is that correct?
Yes. Fun fact. Well, I'll bring, I guess this goes with the next game, but they mentioned between Drew, Sean, and Alex, we have had, 371 Red Bull starts in our midfield. Their actual Red Bull midfielders were only about 100 and some between them, wow. Which is just kind of funny.
That's so crazy.
But yes, yeah, he was an ex-Red Bull player.
Well, I think that those Red Bull type players like Alex Mouille and Dax and Sean Davis, they're aggressive players. They're physically aggressive players, and I do like that about Yearwood's game. I think that he brings an edge to his game, and I like it. All right, let's do MVP for the Mocha game. Mine is going to go to Mr. T. Boyd, who is not from Australia. He is not from Australia, as you and I offline were talking about. He is from New Zealand. I was incorrect.
So he's a Kiwi, not a kangaroo.
He is a Kiwi, not a kangaroo. Yes, John. That goal he scored, we'll talk about, we'll talk about the three goals. The three goals were scored by Hani Mukhtar and very early on, which I kind of called during the score prediction on last episode. Then a Super Sam Surridge, just a beautiful header. And then Boyd's goal was a effort goal. It was definitely a guts-only goal. So, yeah, well-earned goal. That's why he got my MVP. MVP
and
for you?
It was Boyd. Because, I mean, look, Sam and Hani did great things, but they were both in for brief periods of time and subbed off. It was Tyler Boyd. And it proved, as they say nowadays, he's got that dog in him. Like, Tyler goes after balls. He's all – like, his effort is just – It's beautiful because I look at him and I see like the effort and want of Alex Mouille, but with a better skill set and the ability to finish. And I'm like, ooh, this is a dangerous combination. So yes, absolutely. Tyler Boyd walked away with my MVP as well.
And again, he came from the Galaxy system, right? But we traded for him from Charlotte. Is that right?
No. He came from Galaxy. We
came from Galaxy. Okay. Yeah. He joins Walker Zimmerman, who was also with the Galaxy. Walker was with LAFC.
He was with Dallas LAFC. Before that, they had drafted him. Yeah.
Right. So,
I think he might be the first Galaxy player we've ever taken or taken from them. There are other players who in their history might have played for them, but I think he's the first one we ever traded.
Zubek was from the Galaxy. He was a homegrown player.
He was our homegrown, and we kept his right.
That's right.
Good catch.
All right. Now, a little bit of inside base or inside soccer. Now that our Tennessee slider, Mr. Schaffelberg, has got his green card, he's legal now to be here in America. We now have an international slot.
I thought it wasn't announced yet.
That it was gone through.
I've heard they're working on it and they anticipate it, but I haven't actually seen a confirmation.
Okay. So until we see the confirmation, we'll talk about it in the next segment.
Yes.
We will talk about it in the next segment. What do you think we should do with that international slot? I think it's pretty much a done deal. So, yeah. All right. Yeah. I think that's the play. All right. Excuse me. Okay, so let's go back to tonight's game, only a few hours ago, 4 o'clock start. MLS kicks off. Nashville versus the New York Red Bulls. Home match, beautiful night. Took my daughter. What a wonderful, beautiful night. Had a good time, except for the fact that we're missing my good friends Javier and his family with Tempo Tacos. But shout out for them for serving the community as they do. They still are there. They're off near the stadium, so go ahead and check them out. All right, hardest working player for this match. And again, it was a 0-0 draw as I had predicted. It wasn't boring, but it was a 0-0 draw, unfortunately. I'll talk about that. So again, hardest working player again was Taylor Washington. He was consistent. Presence, and did some really good defensive work. He had to, unfortunately. What about you? Hardest working player for this match?
I was going to give it to Jacob because I liked his pace going forward. I felt like I felt like, as we tend to do in some of these games, he got a little bit isolated trying to make runs, and you know, people just wouldn't get the ball or held onto it too long, and he was already offsides, or the, you know, the opportunity was missed.
Right.
But I saw him working all over, and I know that on the broadcast they mentioned a couple times that he was on the left, and then he played a little more centrally for a little while there, kind of the middle. He was moving around trying to do that, and they actually complimented that he was moving from side to side, not just up and down, and kind of sticking to his position. So I believe Tony Husband was talking about on the broadcast, it looked like he viewed that as a sign of maturity from Schaffelberg in his game, to realize that sometimes he's got to slide in more, not just, doesn't have to be touching the touchline on the side for everything he does. I think he put in a great effort. I think he was just, unfortunately, like I said, a little bit of a disconnect between the midfield and Wallow's runs. Otherwise, I think we could have seen some beautiful things.
I think Schaffelberg was he was visibly upset after he was pulled off the field. Pretty not happy with being pulled off the field. I think it was a frustrating night tonight, just to watch especially the first half was very frustrating, and so it was tough. It was good to see McKenzie come in, you know, our homegrown come on the field. He did okay, you know.
He's not homegrown.
We traded for him. Sorry,
you'll get it right.
Yep, but a good VAR for him to get some touches and some minutes. It was good. It was nice. All right, MVP.
I think
it's pretty easy. It's Joe Willis. Joe Willis.
This is freaking Joe Willis.
Yeah,
or the crossbar.
No, it's going to be I'm going to give it to Joe because he made more saves than the crossbar. Joe had three saves. Technically, Joe had five saves, technically speaking, but the crossbar helped with two of those five.
No, Joe. I mean, look, we would have lost if Joe had not been on top of a couple of those shots. I think he wins it. And I hate to say it, like, I know we talk about if we give an award to Joe, that's a sign things didn't go well. Mm. I thought our defending was decent.
Yeah.
I feel like again, they mentioned on the box, like when they pushed forward, they overwhelmed the box. They tried to stuff the box with players. And so it was very difficult because things ping ponged, et cetera. I'm just saying, I think the Red Bulls made it extra hard as opposed to some of the other teams that we may play. And so but Joe was in the right place at the right time. So much thanks to Joe for helping us pull out that draw.
Well, let's before we take a break, let's do our best goal from the Mocha FC. Your best goal. What do you think?
I love the effort on Tyler's goal, but I like the very nice passing that led up to Hani's. Sam's is also really good in an individual effort, because I actually thought he might have the ball got a little farther away from him and thought he might botch it. I'm going to give it to Hani's just because I like kind of the lead up passes to it were pretty clean to create the opportunity. So I'll go with that one.
A nice back heel from Sam, just kind of cheeky getting it in there to Hani to get that goal I'm going to give it to Sam just because, again, I'm trying to manifest him to get regular MLS season goals. He seems to show up with goals in non-MLS play.
Well, admittedly, he had an excuse since he didn't play a minute in this game. So
we'll
talk about that a little more in the second segment.
All right, we will. His injury, when it occurred, looked pretty bad. He couldn't lift his arm, and it looked on camera, it looked really bad. Now, in the post game, let's talk a little bit about that before we take a break. Gary did say in the post game, and again, Speedway Soccer asked, Will Wright asked, you know, what's the status? And Gary said that Sam is out of the sling, which is a good sign. Mm-hmm. So that is good, but we'll talk about that in the next segment.
Yeah.
All right, John, let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk about some things we learned in these last two matches. John will share some stats. And we'll tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch, so stay with us. We are back. All right, John, let's talk about that. What did we learn from the Mocha FC and the New Jersey Red Bull game?
I'll give you three things. From the Mocha FC game, I think we learned that, at least to me, the biggest thing I saw is this is the first time where we have out-talented a team. Usually that happens in the Open Cup. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're going up against USL sides. And we truly seemed to put them away, and it was not worrying, not threatening. We got up two goals early. Like you said, Mocha did tend to wake up, but it never really felt threatening or scary or pressure. And then we got a third one for insurance because, again, it's a two-leg thing, so now we have a three away goal buffer, which is great. So to me, that was the biggest thing, because you and I have complained about this for years in MLS, in US Open Cup, playing down to opponents.
Yeah.
I know we started in MLS best 11 almost, obviously without Walker and Lovitz. So we started a really good lineup. We did not necessarily start any reserves, but the fact that we went in and did the job to me was just huge, because we have botched that so many times.
Yeah.
So that's my big takeaway from Mocha, is we went in and did a job we needed to. And now this Wednesday's game becomes much easier because we can sub in some people. Ideally, the injured Hani and Sam don't play a single minute because we don't need them to. And we can eke out a draw. Heck, maybe even lose 1-0. It'd be a little bit of a bummer. But, you know, play to draw that out, since we've kind of got that in the pocket already. So that was my takeaway from that. What did you learn from that one? Then we'll move to the Red Bull game.
Well, I learned that, you know, the focus on the offseason has been about goals. It was clear from that Hani Sam link up play and the build up to that and the subsequent plays after that, that those two were like, all right, you two get together, make something happen. And and something happened. And it wasn't just the one goal. There were other chances during that match with the two of them, and Boyd feeding them a ball. I was so excited and then really sort of despondent when the injuries happened, because it was so wonderful to see the three of them start really getting, there was some magic going on. There's some real sin. They were starting to dominate the game in a way that, like you just said, they started dominating the game in a way that was almost comic. There was backheel passes and little chip shots and little, and like Sam did like this scorpion kick. Like it was a free flowing, creative game. Mm-hmm. And so to see that squashed with the injuries, I think that was the most disappointing thing about the match. But up to that point, it was pretty clear. We could have gone up three, maybe five goals easily against Mocha had it not been for the injuries. So that's what I learned. That's my take on that.
Yeah. So for the Red Bull game, I learned two things. One, Gary still has not figured out how to beat the Red Bulls.
No.
I mean, we're now 2-0, 3-2 or 0-2-3, depending on how you do the win, loss, tie. But we've lost twice, tied twice in MLS. Also, I saw someone put, and I think even going back into like a year of USL, he also has never beaten Red Bulls 2 in USL. So clearly, I mean, unfortunately,
they're a pressing team. They're a pressing team.
Right, and I think you predicted this. Gary's teams just don't do well against the Red Bulls, period. That's it. And I think we saw that. And one, that trend continues. Maybe someday he'll figure something out. I know he did some switches with who was out there and things like that, and we looked better at the end, whatever. That's one thing. The other thing I think we saw is when you have your three DPs not starting, you're not quite as good of a team as when they do. So, I mean, to me, not only that, three DPs plus truly a key start, in my opinion, Dane Lovitz. Again, shout out and your awards to Taylor Washington. But we know that Dan is a step above Taylor. I mean, let's be realistic. So it's like no starting left back, you know, no two starting forwards, your best center back. So like to me, like if I had to grade this game, I call it incomplete because look, I can draw some conclusions. There are some individual bright spots. There's some things here and there, but like realistically, it's hard to say because we were missing some freaking key players that you don't expect to be there. You know what I mean? And so like, it's hard to draw conclusions, especially knowing that we tend to play poorly against the Red Bulls. So it's like, not having those players, it's a draw that feels like a win because they had a lot of scary opportunities. But overall, like I said, I'm not, you know, fretting over it because there's a lot of kind of qualifications to this. So that's my second lesson.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be something we're going to have to get during the post game. It seemed to me that Gary was trying to coach us on get used to this because this season is going to be fractured in ways that we cannot yet anticipate. John. So mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. the amount of soccer we are going to be playing over the next 6 months is going to be significant. And I can't imagine it. This is just a little taste of what it's going to be like this year. I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's incredibly unpredictable. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, yeah. And we talked about, and again, so far this week, the refs were pretty good. Like, by the way, I will say shout out to the refs.
They were all right. They were okay. Yeah.
Because on the broadcast, they talked about it. They said they can understand the red, but they really thought it was a yellow for Sean because both of them had high boots and were going for it. And it's just that Sean's contact was a little more towards the head and initiative, and they reviewed it.
I saw it live because it was on my side of the field. Yeah. I saw it live.
It did look like a red, but when you did the replays, the announcers kind of backed and they were like, and that's maybe more of a yellow and a little bit harsh this early in the game. So
how nice was it to have Tony Husband on the broadcast?
But I was going to say in general, I did not see a lot of big errors from the refs. So that was pleasing. But again, like you said, there's that wild card out there too. So, you know, this season could be interesting.
Yeah, I think so. And this is one of those areas where I'm actually going to sidle up to what Gary's saying. I get it. He's trying to really set expectations for this year in that we're just going to have to sort of gut out some wins with squads that are going to be pretty incomplete.
Yeah.
He's just saying that's just the reality. That's the way things are going to be. So, all right, let's hit us with some stats, John. What you got?
So one of the ones I like, so if you take our front three of Boyd, Surge, and Mukhtar, they each had three shots, and with Hani, all three were on target. With Tyler and Sam, it was two-thirds, so 66% on target. So that's some good stuff. That's some good, like that. I agree with you. I saw some things, but the stats back up, they were some dangerous players. Yeah. And I mean, we had some, according to this, remember the big chance thing, which is the, you know, you're in a high percentage. We have four of them. We had three goals. So it kind of lines up. Things look good there. I mean, statistically, the Red Bulls game is kind of what you thought. They outpossessed us. They outshot us. But I think the interesting thing to me is from the 74th minute on, which is, when we brought on McKenzie in the 71st minute, Walker came on around 62. We looked like the better team and we pressed. So to me, I thought it was interesting. If you look at the possession stats, that last bit, we had much more of the possession because it looked like, I think they kind of hit that 70th minute and said, okay, we can take this, but let's dial it back and take a calculated risk of this is a road game. Let's not necessarily push it, but I felt like we pushed for it more and we looked a little bit better at the end. And the stats show that, you know, we possessed it and most of our actual shots that had, that earned expected goal all came from the, of our five shots that it registered on FootMob, three of them came from the 71st minute onward. So it was kind of indicative of how we ratcheted up the pressure a little bit and tried to maybe steal the extra 2 points at the end. I feel like we didn't do very well or still don't.
I'm going to hit you with, I think one stat I heard on the post game with Will Bowling, on 102.5, the game said 105.9. Will was talking about how of all the, CONCACAF teams that played tonight, that played this weekend, none of them won their match outright. All were either a draw. I think all five of them were a draw and one was a loss, which was Austin. You may have to VAR me on that, but I'm almost anyway. So check me on that, on whether that's true or not. I may have misheard Will wrong on the CONCACAF teams that had competed, the MLS teams that had competed in the CONCACAF struggling in the first weekend, but we'll VAR that. All right, John, here's what I want to know. Who or what needs to get off your pitch?
So as you know, I went out of town. And so while I was gone it was Thursday. Mm-hmm. I accidentally left the window to this bonus room open a little bit for air circulation. Now, because there's no screen, I can only leave it open about 2 inches because that's when the cats try to walk out. There's a little brick balcony and that gets dangerous and scary. My wife messaged me as I was on the trip that morning to say, hey, did you leave a window open? I said, yeah. She said, well, there's a bird in here now. So as she was working, there's a bird that snuck in and it started flying around. And so she was telling me that it was attacking her while she was on video calls for work. And then the cat started staring at it and chasing it. And so eventually the cat caught it, ran out of the room and went to our closet is where she found him and killed said bird. Mm. So then she had to pick it up and dispose of it. As she goes outside to dispose of it, and I guess because it wasn't there that morning, she took the kids to school, because sometimes we let our cat out and he roams and comes back. Well, she went out there, and on the front sidewalk was a dead mole that he evidently also caught and left there. So my get off the pitch is not mine. It is on behalf of my wife for the wildlife around our house that has been encroaching on our area,
okay,
and thus leading to my cat's hunting instincts, which, I mean, he has instincts. Yeah. I applaud him.
That's how they be.
But him being actually, for the first time I've ever seen him, efficient at it. So it goes to the wildlife for giving him these opportunities, because it's led to messes that she had to clean up. So on her behalf, the wildlife around our house can get off my pitch.
All right, John, with the this season's first proxy red card for his wife. Tell you who. Okay, so John, first of all, I want to say some positive things before I get my. I'm going to make this a habit. I want to shout out, and I was actually trying to find the name of the broadcaster for the Mocha FC. It sounded Jamaican. He did such a good job as a solo broadcaster for the match. I really enjoyed listening to him. He had some good insights into the game and called the game all in one. Really good job. And I'll try to var that and try to find the guy's name. Did a really good job. And it was obviously good to hear Jamie on the broadcast. But I can tell you what I didn't like about that Mocha match, and that's what needs to get off my pitch, is the guy that invented Vuvuzelas. That person needs to get – I don't know where they are in this planet, alive or dead, but they can get off my pitch. They need to ban it from stadiums across FIFA. Just get rid of it. And there was a vendor at the stadium selling those stupid things.
Oh, no.
If anyone needs to look it up, it's Vuvuzelas, Vuvuzelas. They were invented in South Africa, apparently. And they have been banned from most stadiums as a quote, and I'm reading a quote here from FIFA, as they were seen as potential weapons for hooligans and can be used in ambush marketing. I'm not sure what ambush marketing is, but according to the Spectator, the UK Spectator, John Quillane, he described the device as an instrument from hell. Now that is a quote. YouTube.
Got it.
That is a quote. They can get off my pitch. It was the most annoying. I was trying to listen to the great broadcast from the CONCACAF announcer, and I was distracted by these stupid Vuvuzela horrible things. So anyway, they can get off my pitch. So let us take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk about the matches coming up, and so stay with us. And we are back. Okay, John. So we got some matches coming up. So who are we playing, and when are we playing them?
Mm-hmm. So we will play Wednesday in Geodis Park. We will welcome Mocha FC to the U.S., to Geodis Park for a game. Now, note, this game was originally scheduled for 7:15 p.m. Central Time. Mm-hmm. But because the other game that night is in Cincinnati, their kickoff is at 6, so ours got moved back to 8:15. So this is going to be a late one, folks.
Yeah.
And it's in the middle of the week. You and I are going. We're going to sit together because we got some fun, good tickets together. We should have it. I will enjoy it. I'm looking forward to it. Honestly, I think it'll be fun to go to the Champions Cup atmosphere, see how it is. I don't expect a record attendance. I expect probably like 15K. You know what I mean? I don't know. Originally, I think they started selling just the lower stuff. I don't know if they've actually opened the upper decks. I haven't checked on tickets to see if they did or if there's that much demand. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's gonna be super fun to do that. I think it'll be super fun to run into and welcome any of their fans who happen to travel.
Yeah, like, I think
good
so.
On them. Love to meet some of them and see them out there. So that'll be kind of a fun experience to do all that. So we have that game. Then we will follow it in on Saturday. So not a Sunday game this time, Saturday. We travel to Colorado. So that is also a late game. It's going to kick off at 8:30 because, again, it's always 7:30 local time, and that's in the Mountain Time Zone. So we get to play at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, always a mediocre-looking venue.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
May or may not have raccoons in the press boxes.
Yeah.
Or was that RSL? I forget if it was Colorado or RSL. I think it was Colorado.
Well, it used to be DC United, but yeah.
Well, yeah. But anyway, so we get to play them for a kind of a late showing on Saturday.
All right. Score predictions. So what do you think about the Mocha match?
So two predictions. One, Gary has said either in the postgame press conference or before today that he thinks Hani is good enough. He might appear Wednesday. I hope not. So my prediction is we roll out a more reserve-based lineup. I would like to see... I mean, I expect Teal starting. I expect Taylor starting. I expect, you know, Mayer, McNaughton, heck, maybe even Bauer as our two center backs. Like, yeah, I don't I want see to that. See the best players out there. I want to see some rest happening already.
Yeah.
However, I wouldn't be surprised if they're in, you know, they're available in case, you know, break glass in case of something. I'm going to go with the 1-1 draw because, again, we don't have to win. All we have to do is not let in three goals and we go on through. But I think that we're a good enough team. I think there's pressure and someone like McKenzie Gaines or Schaffelberger, Boyd gets a, you know, an individual moment of brilliance and speed and kind of breaks away and scores something. But I also think we end up letting, I think Mocha, because they know they have to win, put some pressure on and maybe somewhere in the second half of the game, they claw a goal back. So I'm going to go with 1-1.
I'm doing 2-0.
Which, by the way, for the total is 4-1 on aggregate that we would go through on. But
I think 1-1. I think it's another 2-0 domination. I think it's going to be really tough for a team like Mocha to come to Geodis and play. I just don't think they're. I honestly just don't think they're used to playing in a venue like. I just think I think it's going to be such a such a. The travel and everything, I think, is going to really play against them. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I think the venues and the location is going to play against them. So I think it's going to be a 2-0, a bit of a boring match. I think it's going to be they're going to be pretty defensive. I think so. Anyway, 2-0. Okay. That's my prediction. All right, John's got 1-1. All right, Colorado, what do you got?
Well, Colorado certainly got beat this week. I don't know if you saw they lost 4-1 to Portland.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. So. They haven't gotten off to a hot start, but again, this will be our fourth game in 2 weeks. You know what I mean? So we're going to be a little bit tired per se. Mm-hmm. Honestly, on the road, like I would love to say we get a 1-0 win and eke it out because I think we are a better team than they are. I think they're still trying to figure out and integrate all their signings and kind of get that going. I also don't trust Chris Armas as a coach, but that's a whole nother story. Yeah. So I'm going to go optimistic and say a 1-0 win, even though I think there is a really, really high percentage chance this is just another 0-0 draw. No. But I'm going to go with 1-0 win with a goal from Jacob Schaffelberg.
Oh, okay.
An assist from Tyler Boyd. It's an all speed goal between the two of them.
Okay, I'm going to make a note of that. We're going to get drubbed 3-1. I think it's going to be Colorado's going to come out at home and really be hot. Mikhailovich is back. I think it's going to be a really hot start for Colorado. I think they're going to come out, score early, and really press us because the book is out on Nashville. Teams know how to play us, and especially with the weaknesses that we have in attack and all the travel and all the games we're playing. I think teams like Colorado are going to look to pick us apart. I think that's going to be the reality.
No, and that's a good point. And I will say this, there's the note of if we do win on Wednesday, we know we're advancing. You know what I mean? With Mocha, we know the next round. The game's already set because we're playing Miami, who did not play in the current round. The dates for their games are already set. So we would know that we'd play Wednesday, Saturday against Colorado, and then we turn around and Thursday we host Miami. Oof. So, right. So there may also be a factor of that because again, this is the hard part, you know, with the front office. We don't necessarily know what their priorities are. Do they want to win the CCC? Do we want to win leagues? Like, what is our priority? And there's something to it. We go out with Mocha. We went out and see. We're winning. We can move on. Great. Miami's going to be a whole different discussion. So, that'll be interesting too. We might just possibly kind of blow off the Colorado game in favor of that, depending. So that could be a real possibility, Eric.
All right, John. I think that's it for all the games. I don't want to look too far ahead, so I don't really want to talk about Miami yet. But
no. That's for next week. We'll leave it.
I don't really want to talk about Miami yet, but they are back of mind. But especially if we do beat Mocha and if we do well against Colorado. Let's say we do the John scenario.
You said I'm sorry, I couldn't let it pass.
If we do well against Colorado and it is the John Brennan scenario of 1-0. I think that sets up a very interesting matchup against Miami. That's all I'm going to say. That's
I would say this. I don't think Sam's ready to play this Wednesday, and I don't think Hani should be. I think he could since we don't have to travel, I think he should be with the team in case. I would also kind of probably not like to see either of them against Colorado and save them for Miami because that, you know, the cup needs more and it gives Sam more time, but we'll see. Yeah, we're projecting too far out now to really do anything about it. So,
all right. Before we go to VAR, I want to ask you again the question that I told I was going to ask in the second segment, but I didn't. With the international slot, Wubens, okay.
Yes.
Wouldn't we be better off getting a striker?
That's what Wubens is.
Oh, is he? Okay, I thought he was just a generic forward. I'm sorry.
No, well, I mean, he's not. I don't know that he does quite the teal holdup play, but he is a striker from the Canadian Premier League. So yes, Ben Wright conjectured this on the Discord. I don't know that he ever published it anywhere else, but he said that it is known that we're trying to get Jacob a green card, and they changed the rules this year. Chris Ivey did a great Twitter thread on this. Mm-hmm.
Chris did a good job
talking about the big rule changes, and one of them is that if someone gets a green card midseason, that international slot then opens up, even though it's past the whatever beginning of season registration deadline. So if Jacob Schaffelberg gets his green card, it means we have an international slot. So possibly we could bring up, because you remember Huntsville has 4 or 5 foreign-based players right now. So we could possibly bring up one of them to do that. And I will say the other thing that lends some credence to this is if you saw the Nashville SC main Twitter account tweeted yearly today or late yesterday a picture of all the assigned player numbers. You know what I mean? So like Sean Davis is 54, mm-hmm. Sam is 9, you know, some of the stuff we know. But in there, it did tweet and included Pacius. So it had his jersey picked on there and his number, which is, 28. So that lends something to maybe he is signed to the team because we haven't seen the full, like, produced, finalized, you know, signed roster. So maybe he is signed with us or maybe they plan to do it and they've allocated him that number. I don't know. But just throwing that out there to add fuel to the fire of the Wubens may end up playing for us sometime.
So let's make sure that we give credit where credit is due. Chris Ivey is a contributing writer for the Nashville SC. You can follow him on Twitter at ChrisIvey865. Please check him out. Also check out Ben Wright. He does a lot of hard work at Speedway Soccer and Broadway Media Sports. So,
and I was going to say, you can check them both on Broadway Media Sports. They put articles. But again, Chris's breakdown of the rules just happened to be only a Twitter thread if you want to go
and
find
also,
that.
Please, please, please don't take points off for his Knoxville skyline on his Twitter account. Okay. John,
but also if you want to give us feedback,
I was about to say, John, where can people give us feedback? Where can they tell us how much they dislike Knoxville and love our content? How could they do that?
Yes, you could go to @GOMP_pod on Twitter or go to Get Off My Pitch on YouTube, and we would be more than happy to chat or interact or hear your opinions.
Yes, we broadcast live 8 p.m. on Sundays most of the time. You can always...
Hey, we're 2 for 2. Hey, we are 2 for 2 so far.
Yeah, we are. It's early in the season.
It's early
in the season. All right.
When we get to Lee's Cup, all bets are off on when it gets recorded.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. All right, John, VAR, what did we get wrong?
Yes. So a couple of things. Forster Ajago is how you should properly pronounce the name of
Ajago.
And he is more of a forward / attacking mid player signed to Huntsville, but I mispronounced his name. I don't know that we put the link to the kit picture in the thing. So I checked it out. The CONCACAF Champions Cup was actually called that from 1962 to 2008. Then from 2008 until 2023, the 22 to 23 season, last season, was CONCACAF Champions League. Now it has gone back to the Cup. Now, if you look, the iterations and how it was done was different for those rule sections, which I think is kind of why they changed the name in 08, is they were changing the way they did it. And I think, again, because they changed and expanded the teams, they decided to go back to the original name this year. So... that's where it came from, but that name was actually used for 40 years prior to 2008. I just think that a lot of MLS fans probably kind of forgot about it. And we got used to it.
Me included.
Yes.
And that is sad because I know that DC United competed in that cup at least twice. I know they did. And so I actually have no excuse. So
yeah. So another thing to talk about, something we just covered in game, the teams playing this week in the CCC: St. Louis, Houston, Philadelphia, Orlando, Nashville, Cincinnati. That's six teams. Do you know what they all did this week in MLS?
Not much.
Six of them came in with a tie.
Yeah.
Now there is one exception, which was New England, who got stomped 3-1 by DC.
They got beat badly.
So, but I'm saying six of the seven MLS teams that played this week in the CONCACAF Champions Cup ended up in a tie game. Now, some of them scored more than others. Like Philly dropped two, but Chicago clawed two back.
Cincinnati was a draw. Like, that was a boring
Cincinnati was a 0-0 board. Right. God, so I'm just saying all of the teams drew. So there is a little something to you, you know, like you talk about, of getting up for the CCC and kind of a little letdown of the next week's MLS game.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I was onto something there. I'm going to VAR myself. I commented in the last broadcast that our kit doesn't really have any sort of it's not an homage to anything. I was incorrect. The broadcaster for the Boca game, the Jamaican gentleman, pointed out that he loved our kit because it looks like Boca Juniors. Go look at. I'm going to leave. I actually have in this week's show notes, I do have links to both Boca Juniors and our kit. He said it's inspired by Boca Junior. I get it. Maybe it might be a Boca Junior from a few years ago, but they have that stripe, like you said, like, but without the logo below, without the sponsorship. So they do have the stripe. Anyway.
Yeah, it's not in the same place, but it looks very similar because they're like a royal blue and and kind of a similar yellow. Interesting. That is a good point. I like Boca that catch.
So Boca Junior, they are a team in Argentina. They're probably one of the top teams in South America. So if not the best team in South America. So go check them out. I actually put them in the show notes this time, so I remembered to do it. All right, John, thank you so much, my friend. Welcome back to Nashville. Soccer's back. MLS is back. Thank goodness. Have a great night.
We'll see you on Wednesday, and we'll talk again on Sunday.